Time now is 10 o'clock.
Destination Freedom. Listen, it's the Freedom Bell.
Aye, the Freedom Bell, my friends. And this is Paul Revere, called back from the shadows by the sound of the Freedom Bell to cry again a warning that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance.
Destination Freedom is presented by station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Paul Revere is the symbol of warning, ready to ride down the skies to shout an alarm. His destination, now and forever, freedom.
Did you ever stop and look around you where, as far as the eye can see, there is land, acre upon acre of land? Some of it rich soil, heavy with the growing seed of vegetation. Some of it dirt foundation for the cement and the stone and the steel of city buildings. Did you ever stop and think that every plot of this land, however small, is owned by some individual or group of individuals who is benefiting by one of the great American heritages passed down to us through the generations, the right to own property? Each of us in America has this right, not only to own property, but to derive the benefits therefrom. This is the story of a man and his property, and of another man who covets that property. Let us visit one of our metropolitan cities. We go through the steady stream of noisy city traffic into a massive stone skyscraper, where high up on the 23rd floor, behind a beveled glass door marked Cross Enterprises Incorporated, three men are talking.
Yes, Hanley, your plans for the new supermarket meet with my approval. With the several changes I've suggested, of course.
I'm glad they're satisfactory, Mr. Cross.
I see no reason now why we can't proceed with the construction of the building immediately. We have bids in from several contractors,
Mr. Cross, might I say we can decide
on one of them without delay. And be quite a plum for someone, erecting the largest supermarket in the United States. Ah, let's see.
Mr. Cross, sir.
What is it, Hunter? Why do you keep interrupting me?
It's just that... Well, you see, Mr. Cross, we don't yet have title to all of the necessary land on which to erect the market.
What do you mean? Why haven't we?
Well, we... It's taken so much time to complete final arrangements for the bulk of the property that there's 1 acre we haven't bought yet.
1 acre? That's ridiculous. Well, get busy and buy it.
Yes, sir. That's what we intend doing.
What you intend doing? It should have been done long ago. What do you think I pay you and that legal fellow of... what's his name?
Wallace, sir.
Wallace for? I've never heard of such incompetence.
Right away, sir. We'll do it right away. It won't take long. Most of the property owners in that Maplewood slum area are easy to make a deal with.
Naturally. That's why I see no reason that... Who owns this acre?
A Negro preacher by the name of Brown. Harwood Brown.
Well, what are you sitting around for? Get over and see this fella. I want construction work on the Cross Supermarket started without delay.
Yes, Mr. Cross, I'm on my way.
And get it as cheap as you can. $3 million is enough to spend on one project.
And so it is that one of these men hurriedly leaves the fine offices on the 23rd floor of the massive stone skyscraper, gets in his comfortable car and drives across town to the suburb of Maplewood, where lives the Reverend Brown. The Reverend Brown is a simple man with a simple faith in his God, his country, and his right to own property. There he is now, standing in the yard near the door of his small frame house, his body bent and shaky with the weight of his years, but his voice strong and forceful as he speaks to the little group of people gathered about him.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
That is all for today, good friends. Next week we'll meet here again, providing, of course, the weather permits, for our usual weekly service. At that time, my sermon...
Excuse me, Reverend, for interrupting, but it's becoming less and less likely that I can get here for these meetings. My rheumatic leg, you know. Standing out here on the ground like this don't help it none.
Me too, Reverend. Since I've been ailing, these outdoor meetings, sometimes with the sun beating down, sometimes with a cold wind blowing, it's just too hard on me.
It was different, Reverend, when we were younger.
What I want to know is, when are we going to get our new church? So we can worship in comfort.
Yeah, that's what we all want to know.
I know how difficult it has been for most of you. And believe me, I sincerely appreciate your loyalty to me these past 10 years since our frame church was torn down.
I never just because it was made of wood instead of bricks.
I've explained all that to you, Charlie, many times. Maplewood passed a law prohibiting public buildings made of wood, which, of course, included churches. We can't quarrel with that law. It was well meant. A frame structure is no protection against fire.
Well, maybe if you say so, Reverend, but still it makes me right angry.
The Lord giveth, and he also taketh away. So be it.
10 years we've been saving. Little here and little there. Trying to scrape together enough money to build a brick church. So far, we only got about enough to build a chimney.
Yeah, where are we going to get enough money to build a brick church?
The Lord will provide. Just be patient. We'll get our new church.
Forgive us, Reverend. It's just that sometimes it's hard to follow your example.
I know. Learning patience is one of man's most difficult lessons. But once learned, it brings with it the greatest reward. So let us have faith and wait a little longer, shall we?
We'll have
Why, look around at this little acre of land and be thankful for it. Keep in mind that we are benefiting from one of the great American rights, the right to own property. And that because of this right, we have the land on which to build our church when we can afford to do so. This thought will make the waiting easier. What is it, please?
My name is Hunter. I'm from the Cross Enterprises. I'd like to talk with you a moment, Reverend Brown.
Oh, certainly. Come in, sir. Come in. I haven't got much of a place here, but I do my best to make my guests comfortable. Oh, wait, I'll move this chair around for you.
Oh, thank you.
Come, Bobby, get down. Chairs for the gentleman. Here, sit here, sir. I find my dog and my two cats a lot of company. And, of course, my goat. Very helpful, too, goat's milk.
Reverend Brown, I only have a little time, so I'll come straight to the point. We want to buy your property. I've been authorized to offer you...
Oh, this property's not for sale, Mr. Hunter. See, it's the Lord's property.
The Lord's property?
Yes, this is to be the site of my new church.
But can't you build your church someplace else?
Oh, no. No, this is where our old church stood. This is where we want the new one. Unconsecrated ground.
Well, I'll make it worth your while to sell. I'll double your original purchase price. What did you pay for this acre?
$300. That was 20 years ago when Maplewood was just a rural section before it became a suburb.
All right. $600. That certainly is a fair offer.
No, you see...
$1,000. Surely you can't refuse that.
I'm right sorry not to oblige you, sir. I dislike having to disappoint folks, but as I said, this is the Lord's acre. And I don't feel that I should sell it.
And you mean to tell me, Hunter, that you let this simple old fellow outsmart you?
There was nothing I could do with him. He just refused to barter.
Oh, nonsense. He's just holding out for more money. Now go back and try again. And this time, see that you get that property.
So high up above the street, as the city traffic streams by far below and the sun drifts lower in the sky, the man named Cross waits. While across town, in a small frame shack, the man named Hunter again tries to bargain with the Reverend Brown.
$2,000.
Well, sorry, Mr. Hunter. This property is not for sale.
But if you get a good price for it, $3,000. How about $3,000?
No, as I said...
$4,000.
No, you don't seem to understand.
$5,000. Well, then, $6,000. All right, I'll raise it to $7,000.
At last, weary with his effort, Hunter returns with word of his failure.
And you say he refused your offer of $8,000? Hunter, you're a fool. Any other man in my position would fire you.
But, Mr. Cross...
If he won't sell, there must be another way to get that property. Where's that lawyer? I told him to come in here. Wallace!
I'm right here, Mr. Cross.
Oh, I didn't hear you come in. Well, have you checked with the tax division?
I have. The annual taxes on the Howard Brown property are now overdue. Tomorrow is the delinquent date.
Now we're getting somewhere. And if he doesn't pay them tomorrow?
According to the law of this state, the property will be sold for taxes 30 days after the delinquency date.
You mean that's all there is to it? We could buy it then?
First, of course, a notice of sale must be published in the newspaper for a period of 10 days.
Oh. Let me think a moment. There'd be nothing to stop us then from buying that property and at a good price, would there?
I think I follow your reasoning, Mr. Cross. No, there wouldn't. It would go to the highest bidder, but after all, who else is interested in bidding on it but us?
What about the deed?
In this state, a deed is issued at the time of sale. It's not actually recorded for a year, of course, but that's a mere technicality. Looks as if it would be clear sailing, assuming, of course, that this man fails to pay his taxes.
Wallace, you seem to be a young man of foresight and shrewdness. You know, I like that. Would it be worth, say, a little extra bonus for you to make certain that this Brown doesn't pay his taxes tomorrow?
You can count on me, Mr. Cross. You can count on me.
And so a scheme is started, a scheme to cheat one man of his American right, the right to own property. As nightfall drops over the massive stone skyscraper where men plot to acquire property belonging to another, it gently spreads over the suburb of Maplewood to the small tract of land and the one-room house of the Reverend Brown. Then, as it came, the darkness disappears with the brightening streaks of sunlight announcing the new day. Happily, Reverend Brown greets one of his followers who's come to pay an early morning call.
Well, good morning, Molly. Come in. You're up pretty early for such a busy young miss.
Morning, Reverend. I guess it is kind of early for a visit.
May I give you some breakfast?
Oh, no, thank you, Reverend Brown. Mama is waiting breakfast for me.
Oh.
She just sent me over to tell you that she's going into the city today and to see if there's anything she can get for you.
No, I think not, thank you. Oh, yes, wait, there is something she can do for me if it wouldn't trouble her too much.
Oh, she'd be glad to do anything, Reverend. She said so.
That's mighty kind of her. Well, then, perhaps she wouldn't mind stopping at the tax collector's office for me. Save me a trip. My property tax is due today. I'll get the money and the form to be received.
As the sun rises higher in the sky, casting its rays benevolently on the little plot of land where the Reverend Brown is working in his garden, he is surprised by another early visitor.
My name is Wallace, attorney for Cross Enterprises. I believe you are the Reverend Brown?
Yes, sir.
Well, Reverend, I've come to bring you some good news.
Good news, sir?
Yes, my employer, Mr. Cross, has worked out a plan to help you erect your new church. Now, what do you think of that?
The Lord be praised. That's wonderful news.
Yes, a very philanthropic man, Mr. Cross. Now, the reason I'm here is to drive you into the city to talk things over with him. You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. I'd be right happy to talk to him.
Fine, fine. Now, we must hurry. Mr. Cross is a very busy man. Well, here we are, Reverend Brown. Now, you just wait here in the reception room. Mr. Cross is busy at the moment, but the chances are he'll be able to see you shortly.
Oh, I'm glad to wait.
Sorry, I can't stay to introduce you, but I have an appointment. Miss Swanson, the young lady over there at the reception desk, will advise you when Mr. Cross is ready to see you.
In the unaccustomed luxury of the reception room, Reverend Brown smiles happily to himself as he sits nervously on the edge of a chair. Gradually, he begins to feel at home in the ornate surroundings. finally, he dozes quietly. He's awakened by the striking of chimes on a nearby tower clock.
Excuse me, please, young lady.
What is it?
Well, I guess you know that Mr. Walters brought me here at 8 o'clock this morning. He said that Mr. Cross wanted to see me. I was wondering if he... That is, Mr. Cross knows I'm here.
Certainly he knows. He said you were to wait.
Oh, thank you, miss. If that's what he said, I realize, of course, that he's a busy man.
He's in conference at the present time. I'll let you know when you may see him.
Yes, miss. Thank you. I'll wait. I didn't mean to see him.
It's 5 o'clock, Mr. What was your name?
Brown, ma'am. Reverend Howard Brown.
Well, Reverend Brown, I'm closing the office now. You'll have to leave.
Oh, but Mr. Cross wanted to see me, ma'am. That's why I was brought here.
Sorry, Mr. Cross is still in conference and won't be available for the rest of the evening. You can come back some other time.
Is there some other place where I can wait? Mr. Walters?
No, there's no other place here for you to wait. Besides, as I told you, Mr. Cross won't be able to see you even if you do wait.
Oh.
Now, if you don't mind, I must lock the outer door.
Yeah, a very clever idea, Wallace's. Getting the old man away by subterfuge and keeping him here on his delinquent tax date so he wouldn't have a chance to pay his taxes. Yeah, the old fellow was so taken up with the fictitious idea of my helping him build his church, he forgot everything else. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, if you ask me, I think it was a low trick.
And I want your opinion, Hunter. I'll ask for it. Now, I want you to get in touch with the contractor as soon as Wallace returns. I think we're safe in proceeding. Oh, here he is now.
Mr. Cross, something's been fouled up.
What has?
I just phoned the collector's office to see if the notice of sale would be in the evening papers, and he says the taxes on the Harwood Brown property are paid up. Paid today.
What? How could that be? The old man was waiting in the reception room all day.
I don't know. All I know is that they're paid.
Oh, you fool. How can I operate any kind of a decent organization surrounded by a group of imbeciles?
Reverend Brown, being a simple man, was back at the offices of Cross Enterprises the next morning.
Oh, please, miss. I wonder if it'd be possible for me to see Mr. Cross today.
Sorry, his appointment book is filled for the entire week.
Well, then, could I see Mr. Wallace?
He's not in.
Then, perhaps it'd be all right if I just sit here a while and wait. It may be that Mr. Cross will have a few minutes after all.
And while the Reverend Brown waited... Behind the closed door of Mr. Cross's office.
Wallace, if you don't do something to get that Parson Brown out of my hair and out of my reception room, I don't know what I'll do.
Oh, now, he's harmless. What I want to tell you is...
That's beside the point. It was your idea to tell him I could help him. And ever since, all day yesterday and now again today, I've had to sneak out of my own office through the side door. I can't walk through my own reception room because he's there waiting. Well, get rid of it.
I will. But what I've been trying to say, Mr. Cross, is that now I think I've really found a way to get his property.
Well, it'll have to be better than your last idea. What is it? Remember, I want everything kept within the law. My reputation...
Don't worry. This is all perfectly legal. Today, just by chance, I ran across an old Maplewood ordinance which has never been changed. It dates back to the days...
All right. Get to the point.
This ordinance prohibits the keeping of animals within 5 feet of a food dispensary, market, and so forth. Do you follow me?
No, I don't.
Don't you see, we're erecting a supermarket less than 5 feet from Reverend Brown's property, aren't we? And he owns 2 cats, 1 dog, and a goat, of which he seems inordinately fond.
And you're trying to say that you think this ordinance will make him willing to sell his property?
I'm saying that I think a man as attached to his animals as he is will sacrifice his ideas about his property before he will sacrifice his beloved pets.
Okay, try it. Try anything. Only get that acre.
I'll see him right now. He's waiting in the reception room just outside the door.
Same as Mr. Wallace. That is the law.
Yes, Reverend. That's the law.
Ooh, that's a hard choice to make. Those animals are all the company I have, you know.
I know, Reverend. You shouldn't give them up. Besides, what would become of them? They might starve or, worse yet, be killed or mistreated.
And this law says that with your new market so close, I can't keep my animal friends on my property.
That's right.
Well, then, there's only one thing for me to do that would be acceptable to my followers and in the eyes of the Lord.
You'll keep the animals you're so fond of and sell the land, of course. I knew a man like you would want to do the humane thing. Now, about the price. I think we can...
Wait, Mr. Wallace. You haven't heard me out. I shall keep my property, and on it someday I shall erect my church. My animals have to go.
Your animals... Now, wait a minute.
I made my decision. Now, if you'll excuse me, sir, I think I'll go home. Oh, I'd thank you kindly if you tell Mr. Cross it. I'd not be troubling him again.
Slowly, sadly, the Reverend Brown makes his way back through the crowds and the noise of the city to the quiet peace of his little shack. There he tries to plan how best he may dispose of the pets that mean so much to him, and he decides to delay a few days. Just a few days' delay can't matter. Back at the offices of Cross Enterprises, Mr. Cross is heatedly discussing the delay in his own plans.
Each day we delay in beginning work on the construction of the Cross Supermarket is costing me thousands of dollars. And here we sit, stymied. And why? Simply because my assistant and my attorney haven't the ability to close a deal for one small acre of land.
We've done everything we could.
You certainly have.
Well, Mr. Cross, what would you suggest we do now?
You've done enough, both of you. From now on, I'll handle this matter. I'm going to see this Reverend Brown myself.
Thus it was that the important businessman, owner of many plots of land, came to bargain with the simple old man for his 1 acre.
I am indeed honored by your visit, Mr. Cross. It's not often that a busy man like you takes the time out.
Reverend Brown, I don't believe in beating around the bush. I've only one purpose in coming to see you.
I know. Mr. Wallace told me of your offer to help build our church. When I was unable to see you at your office, I thought you'd change your mind. I didn't dream you'd come to see me. I don't know what to say, sir, except to express my appreciation for your kindness in wanting to assist us.
Yes. Well, that is, you see,
Mr. Wallace told me you were a great philanthropist.
He said that?
Yes, and now that I've seen you, I can tell by the expression in your eyes, sir, that you are indeed a godly man.
Oh, I say now, look here, Reverend,
I've lived a good many years, Mr. Cross. I've learned to know a kind-hearted man when I see one. Now, about our church. You see, our great problem has been to obtain the money to build a good, substantial sanctuary.
Money, you say? Oh, yes, of course. Reverend Brown, how much would you say it would cost to build your new church?
Well, I don't know exactly.
Would, say, $10,000 do it?
Oh, that's wonderful. That you should want to give us that much money with no extra expense for land.
Oh, you misunderstand. I'm not giving you anything. I'm a businessman, Reverend Brown. I'm making you an offer for your property.
Oh, I see. But my property's not for sale, sir.
Think, man. With $10,000, you could buy other property on which to build your church.
Oh, no. It wouldn't build us a fine brick church and also buy us a large enough tract of land on which to put it.
Well, all right, $15,000.
No. Besides, I know of no property that is for sale in or around Maplewood. My followers want to stay in Maplewood.
Well... Perhaps I...
Let me try to explain about my people, sir, how they feel. You see, they are poor and own no property individually. That's why this little tract of land means so much to them. When the church is built upon it, it'll become their property because on it will stand their place of worship. This will give them a feeling of ownership. It will enable them to take advantage of a great American right not easily available to them, the right to own property. Thus, through this tiny acre of land, these people feel a kinship not only with God, but with America.
I see. You know, Reverend, you've got a way with words. I guess I've always owned so much property that I've never stopped to think how much one little piece of land could mean to anyone else.
I'm glad if I made you understand.
I'm a tough old warrior, Reverend. Kindly acts don't come easy to me. But a thought has just occurred to me. Mind you, not a word of this to my associates.
Why, no, Mr. Cross.
You see, I own a great deal of property here and there, among which is a small plot of land in Maplewood a ways west of here. It'd be plenty large enough on which to erect a church. Good-sized church. Now, if I should deed that property over to you, and in addition pay you a good price for your acre, would that be acceptable to you, Reverend?
Why, I hardly know.
I mean this, Reverend Brown. What do you say? Will you accept my gift and $30,000 for your present property?
Oh, indeed I will, Mr. Cross. Indeed I will. You see, I wasn't wrong about you. You are a humanitarian with a true American spirit.
Oh, I don't claim to be all that. Remember, Reverend, I'm a businessman. And this agreement will make possible the building of the largest supermarket in the United States.
Yes, Mr. Cross. And this agreement will also make it possible for my people to own the finest church in Maplewood. I thank you, sir. And may God bless you.
So, two men learned what the right to own property can mean in these United States. They learned that with that right comes many privileges. A man may hold property or give it away. He may build upon it an instrument to gain profit or a monument to religious faith. So it is with every acre upon which our great nation is built. Every building, every mile of railroad track, every tunnel, every bridge, every street, every piece of farmland, every pasture, every forest, all these parcels of land represent the benefits derived from these privileges, without which this nation could not have progressed on its way toward destination freedom.
Paul Revere, portrayed by Maurice Copeland, will return next Sunday to narrate another chapter in the story we call Destination Freedom. Presented by station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Today's script was written by Madeline Peters and produced under the direction of John Cowan. Arthur Peterson played the Reverend Brown and Carlton Cadell played Mr. Cross. Other members of the cast were Lorette Philbrant, Charles Flynn, and Jack Lester. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Helen Morton and Jose Bethencourt. Our engineer was George Wilson, sound effects by Cliff Mueller. This is Bill Grisky reminding you that the sound of the Freedom Bell is your invitation to follow Paul Revere along the road to Destination Freedom. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.